We, as I mentioned, are in a series called Here For It, which is all about the transfiguration and the moment of transfiguration where God's presence is made known to us, where the covenant promise of God, very simply saying, I will be their God, they will be my people, is lived into by the people of God. And if I'm saying this word transfiguration and you don't know what I'm talking about, it refers to a story that shows up in the synoptic gospels, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to this mountaintop and to pray with them. And while he is up on top of this mountain, he is transfigured. His face starts to shine with light. His clothes become this really dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear with him, representatives of the law and the prophets. And in the midst of this transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are afraid of what's happening. There's this voice that booms out from heaven. It's the same voice that booms out at Jesus' baptism, saying, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And so these three disciples are afraid of what's happening, and then they come down off of this mountaintop. And this moment of transfiguration, which we always hear about on Transfiguration Sunday, which is happening in 5 weeks, 5 weeks from today, is often read with this story, this moment about Moses that we just heard, where Moses is coming down from this same mountaintop, we think, with these two tablets in his hand, the law. And he has just written the law. He's been alone with God on this mountaintop for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been fasting, hasn't drinking anything. He ascends this mountain, God descends, and they meet in the middle, and the commandments are written out, these 10 commandments outlining, describing what covenant life with God looks like, what it means to be here for the life and love of God. So Moses is coming down this mountain. He has these two tablets in his hand. And as a result of talking with God, we are told that his face is glowing. It's shining with God's glory. And we're also told, one of the first things in the story, that Moses doesn't know that his face is shining, which I think is really important. Because we live in a society where we know our faces are shining, or at least we like to think that we know they're shining, right? Just go to our LinkedIn profile. You can see our beautiful professional faces shining, right? We like to get our face out there. We like to have our face out there. We live in an age of influence, right? Influence is one of our greatest commodities. You ask a kid, what do they want to be when they grow up? And they did this recently. There was this giant survey. Does anybody know what the number one answer was for kids of what they wanted to be when they grew up? Some guy's already like nodding his head like, I don't like it. I don't know what it is, but I already don't like it. I love it. Does anybody know what it is? It's a YouTuber. Yeah, right? Little cringy, right? A YouTuber, right? Humility is not our strong suit. Right? This is what we're teaching our kids, that it's good to put yourself out there, to put your shining, beautiful face out there all of the time. And we want our faces to shine, right? And we like to know or think we know when they are shining. I had a friend in right after college, good friend of mine, first job out of college was working for his dad's company. Right, and this was comes from a very wealthy family, very prestigious job, prestigious company, you know, big shiny job, corner office that overlooked the views of downtown Houston. He would talk to us, brag to us about how big this office was, how big his desk was, the fact that he had to wear a suit every day, he had to shine his shoes and do this big long commute into the office, and he's bragging to us about this, which I always thought was funny because it's like, dude, you work at your dad's company. It's not that impressive, right? But he was bragging to us about this. So, you know, first week goes by and we're like, hey man, how's the office? How are things going at the office? How's corporate life? And he's like, oh yeah, things are great. And we're like, no, but like literally, how is your office? Is it still as epic as you said it was? And he's like, oh yeah, the office is great. You know, I lost that. And we're like, what'd you say at the end there? He's like, I lost it. We're like, you lost the office? Like, what happened? He's like, well, it's pretty simple, really. On my second day, you know, I was exhausted from, you know, the rigors of corporate life in corporate America. We're like, okay, you've been in it for 18 hours. his lunch break comes, and he's like, you know, I could either take a lunch break for an hour, or I could take a nap. I decided to take a nap in my office. And not only did he take a nap in his office, he took a nap underneath his desk. As made famous by George Costanza in Seinfeld, right, when he's working for the Yankees, takes a nap under his desk, 30 minutes, sets an alarm on his phone, wakes up, he's feeling refreshed, he goes about the rest of his day, no problem. He comes in the next day, and his desk has been moved into the bullpen, the same desk from his office, and it's out there with all of us, right, all the common folk, right? The office is gone, and there's a note on the door to his office that says, "Stay awake, Dad." So someone had seen him, had come into his office when he was sleeping, saw that he was sleeping, and quietly reported him to his father, and he lost his office, right? He had it for a whole of 3 days. And we would give him hell about this for a long time because it was hilarious. But I think what was most funny about it was I kind of like to think we've all been there in some way. Right, we've all bragged about something and said, yeah, you know, things are going good. We've got that shine on us, only for it all to crumble 3 days later. But Moses has a genuine humility in this moment, or maybe just a genuine ignorance about what is happening with his face. Right? He doesn't know. He's not aware that his face is shining. Do you know anyone like this, right? Someone who radiates the light of God, even and especially when they're not aware of it, right? Maybe it's a family member or a coworker or someone even in church. There was someone this week who reached out to me. I won't share their name, but they reached out to me about the prayer request that I put on the stairs and sent me a text this week, and it said, "Good morning, Pastor. I picked up your prayer card this week. Be assured that I will lift up your brother, wife, and new baby in prayer about this time each morning." Every morning, this person is going to be praying for me, basking in the presence of God, and now that light of God is spilling over into my life as it brought a smile to my face. And I know this person is telling the truth about praying every morning when they said that she would, because you see this person and the smile on their face, like it's just radiating the light of God all of the time. This is what regularly being in the presence of God will do. And Moses is making these frequent trips up and down this mountain, right? This is what seeing God face to face does. And being in the presence of God face to face comes with some fear as well. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what I think this means is that there's a type of reverence, a type of humility that comes in recognizing the power of God against the powerlessness of humanity. Right? There's a type of humbleness that comes with that. Aaron and the Israelites, Aaron, Moses' brother, his own brother, and the Israelites are afraid of Moses when he comes down off of this mountain. The tables have really turned for Moses. The transfiguration of his face reflects the transfiguration of his life. You might remember from very early on in Exodus chapter 2, Moses was a murderer. There's this moment where Moses is watching this Egyptian slaveholder with two Hebrews, two of his people, and this Egyptian strikes one of the Hebrews. And scripture tells us that he looks this way and he looks that way and he kills the guy and buries him in the sand. And the next day, Moses comes back to the same place, and there's these two Hebrews are fighting with one another. And he gets in the middle of them, and he's like, whoa, let's not fight each other. And one of them says, what are you going to do, kill me like you killed that Egyptian? And he's like, I gotta kick rocks. So he leaves. He becomes afraid that word is getting out about this, and he leaves. He goes on the run, and he finds himself out in the middle of nowhere, working as a shepherd out in Midian. And there's this burning bush that appears to him, right? The fire of God in this bush, and it's burning, but it's not consuming. And God says to Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I'm going to free them from bondage in Egypt, and you are going to lead an exodus out of this. And Moses is like, no, I can't do it. He's actually so afraid of God in this moment and what's happening that he turns his face away. He's afraid to look God in the face. So afraid that he says, I can't do this. I can't be the one that goes because I have a stammer. I'd have a speech impediment. And God says, oh, okay, I see. And you kind of think he's going to get out of it for a moment. And he's like, you can take your brother Aaron with you. And he's like, great, now it's a family vacation. This is awesome. Right? Your brother is great. He can be your mouthpiece, but you got to take him with you. This is who God calls to write the law. And now when the Israelites look at Moses, they don't see a murderer with a speech impediment. They see the glory of God shining from Moses' face, so much so, in fact, that they are now afraid. When we encounter God, we are transformed, transfigured even. We shine with God's glory. What might this mean for us? What does it look like for us to bask in the promise of God's presence? Moses asks God for this. He actually asks God in the midst of mediating for God's people through the process of this covenant. He says, I want to see you face to face. God says, essentially, no one that's seen me face to face has lived to tell about it. And he says, I want to be the first. Right? And so they have this whole plan about how he's going to go to this mountain and God's going to pass by in this cloud. But he does it. He makes it work, but it transforms him. It transfigures his face. How are we asking for this same thing? How are we living into the promise of God's presence? Maybe for you, it's worship. Maybe you're like me. This is where I feel the tangibility of the intangible God, right? God passes by in this cloud. God embodies the light of someone's face. But in worship, we feel it in our hands. Right? In communion, we taste and see that the Lord is good. Last week, our son, at about 4 p.m. on a Sunday, pulled out of his pocket a chunk of communion bread and just started eating it. And I was like, well, at least it's being consumed. We have to consume it or return it to the earth. We can't just throw it away, so at least he's eating it. But that touched me. Like, he is still, hours later, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Maybe for you, it's singing songs. And it's hearing the sound of our communal voice or the sound of our voice when we recite our communal prayers. Maybe for you, it's writing the prayers of the people and actually taking a moment to write your prayers and lay those on the foot of the steps. Maybe for you, it's retreating. Maybe you're like Moses and you're like, I got to get on top of a mountain. That's how I feel God's presence. Maybe you're an REI person, right? I long to be one. I walk into REI. And I'm like, this place ain't built for people like me. I'm like, do you guys have Yetis? Do you guys have Twizzlers? REI is not for me, but maybe it is for you, and that's great, and that's beautiful, right? Maybe for you, it's community, right? It's small group. It's Bible study. It's community group. It's having that dinner party with your friends is when you feel God's presence is through each other. Maybe for you, it's service. Right? It's being a counselor at MYF or serving in children's ministry or helping hand out food at our food pantry on Thursday nights. You know, how is God calling us, inviting us to be here for it, to live into the tangible reality of God's presence and as a result, be transformed, even transfigured and to glow with the light of God's glory, to shine with the promise of God, which says, I will be there God, and they will be my people. Amen.